Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. And Jesus said, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Jesus' own words talking about the interaction between faith and works. It was an interesting study done, a research project that was fairly extensive, that in fact was recently undertaken comparing church attendance and social programs. They looked at countries such as Sweden and France that have coverage basically from the cradle to the grave, and they tried to see if there was be a correlation between the likelihood of someone living in those countries and sitting in the pews on Sundays, and how central faith would actually be in their life. Well, there's no doubt that much can be said about the goings-on in Washington, D.C. at this point. What we're really looking at this morning is that people appear to look to actions over words. They look not so much towards those that care, but they compare them to those that talk about caring, and it's a world of difference. Our Lord in this morning's gospel was really taken aback when he heard Philip's request. "Lord, show us the Father," he said. "Wait a minute. I've been showing you the Father." That was a revelation of Jesus Christ in each and everything that he did. He showed the very essence of the Father. He was the personification of that divine love that was sent to earth to walk among us. We're fully aware that knowing the Father is really impossible, except through the Son, and that through only through his humanity. It's this man, Jesus, that truly reveals to us God in the knowable and revealed aspects of his essence. As much as we as pastors and faculty and students think that we can comprehend the Almighty, in fact, we know about one thing, and that's ignorance. It's beyond the human sphere of understanding what God is really like. We really look to God, like Paul said, through a mirror dimly, attempting as best as we can to delve into that, the very essence of God, the reality of who he and what he is just a total failure. We merely scratch the surface. There is that great deus absconditus, the hidden God that shall not be revealed this side of heaven. And Jesus acknowledges. He acknowledges the very fact, that very fact in our gospel reading this morning. We are so often a people of little faith. We really are. And we constantly want that reassurance. We need that concreteness of God's presence among us. We too need that. We see that. It's part of our nature. Among us this morning, we have people that, in fact, are very anxious to share the good news of Jesus Christ. They're called the President's Circle. They're a group of individuals with a love for Concordia Theological Seminary. They're people of extraordinary talent and intellect to whom our president looks for guidance and for input as we collectively serve the Church of Jesus Christ, as we form servants teaching that teach the faithful, that reach the lost and care for all. It's in these people we see Christ in faith in action. It's that faith that we confess, that we believe that Jesus is in fact the one that was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, that was born of the Virgin, was suffered and died and rose again from the dead, and will come again with glory. That's our confession, that's our faith. And that's our hope that's been given and nurtured by the Holy Spirit. Through this Jesus, we know that we have been reconciled. We've been made right. We have a right standing before God, our Father. We know that this is by his desire and not ours, that we have this assured eternity in the very presence of God. It's in this Son that we know that we've been granted the forgiveness of sins, that we've been made holy, the saints, the hagios, the holy ones, and been granted that standing of saints in the sight of God on account of his Son. But some, however, don't understand that message. Even in Jesus' day, they couldn't wrap their minds around this Jesus. They couldn't understand his teachings. They couldn't fathom how this man Jesus had taught like no other person had, who had opened and explained the Word of God in a manner and shape that they had never seen before or heard. Now someday, Lord willing, you will be ordained and you'll be installed as an onion shepherd of a flock that will be entrusted to your pastoral care. And you too, during your long ministries, will come across people who cannot believe the very words of Jesus, but need to look for something else. And they will come into your office, they'll come into your community, they'll come into your congregation, and they will look for Christ in action, a community that's deeply in love with their Lord, and where they can see Jesus working and changing lives. If you think about it, Jesus is all about the change business. Our liturgies are beautiful. Our teachings sound, our hearts in the right place. But yet there will be some, those who do not the Savior, that don't know the Savior, and will not respond to Jesus is Lord until at some point, at such time that they see Jesus as Lord of your life. They want to see Jesus. True love of God in the first tablet automatically produces action in the second tablet, because love of God is in fact laid out in through love of neighbor. Our so-called third use of the law is nothing more than the law in its very widest sense, because it encompasses the gospel, because the works that we do as people of Christ are in fact being fueled and grounded in the gospel, in the very person of Jesus. And it's in this reality that faith is put into action. As the faithful people of God, you see Jesus all the time, not only under bread and wine, not under only the washing of forgiveness, but in every facet of life. I met a lady one time that was in her 40s. She was already confined in a nursing home. She was in terrible pain all the time. She had two young children, a husband that all visited her very faithfully each and every day. But although life had played her out this absolutely dreadful hand of misery and what we would consider unfairness, she smiled and she greeted each day with anticipation and with joy. She was asked one time, I think very logically, how is it that you're in your misery and your pain with everything that's been taken away from you? How can you possibly be as cheerful and happy each and every day? Her response was as profound a theological statement as I think I had ever heard. I don't mind the pain, she said. I don't even mind the discomfort, because it reminds me of what my Lord suffered for me. No matter what she was bearing each and every day, she could see Christ. She could be a witness. She chose in her way, by the power of the Spirit, to live and to show Christ to all those who were around her. Whether it was patients in the nursing home, the staff, or the visitors, each one knew that she was the bride of Christ, living and loving him each and every day of her life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been shown the Father in Jesus Christ. There are a countless multitude that need to see him too. There's an urgency to our mission, there's an urgency to our task. Jesus healed the blind, he made the lame walk, he raised the dead to life, and yet he promises you greater works than these you too shall do. The works are signs pointing to the very one who saves. They point others to and towards your Lord of life for personal relationships that transcend the mediocrity of earthly healings, and brings, in fact, life to those who once were dead. You are the powerful. You are the emissaries of Jesus, who by the word and sacrament and deed bring Jesus to a new concreteness, leading others to seeing Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.